We're going to continue this morning in talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and this morning talking about peace, the fruit of the Spirit, peace. Jeremiah chapter 6, I would like you to notice verse 14. Verse 14. The Bible says, "They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." I'll read that verse again. "They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." We have a world that perhaps is similar to Jeremiah's day, where they say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Our world is a stressful, distressing place. Must admit that even as a believer, sometimes life can be distressing, stressful. There's deadlines, challenges, pressures, and the list could go on. Many times, people find themselves saying things like, and see if you can help me finish these, "I can't take it anymore." Or someone says, "I'm ready to throw in the..." Or someone says, "I'm at the end of my life is falling apart. I'm at my wit's end." Wit's end. Many times these expressions, these cliches, are common in our lives, in our minds, in our society. The world is a distressing place. The world is a place that has no true peace. Why is that? Well, because there's a person who is peace. There's a person who gives peace. And apart from that, the world seeks for pleasures to give them peace. They seek for noise to drown out the noise in their soul. They seek for drugs to find peace. But true peace does not come from a bottle or a pill or a party or a girlfriend. True peace can only come from the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. You see, God is the source of peace. Please notice Romans chapter 15. Keep your place, because we're going to be back in Jeremiah 6 in just a few minutes. So go to Romans 15, though. And let's notice verse 33. Romans 15 and verse 33. This is the last verse of chapter 15. And notice what it says. Notice what it tells us about the Lord. Romans 15, verse 33. The Bible says, "Now the God of..." Help me out. "The God of peace be with you." Be with you all. Amen. "Now the God of peace be with you all." Amen. He's a God of peace. You see, our God is a God of peace. He's a God that we can draw peace from. I want you to notice also Philippians and chapter 4. Philippians and chapter 4. Let's notice verse 9. Philippians 4 and verse 9. The Bible says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do." Now read it with me. "And the God of peace shall be with you." Isn't that a blessing? The God of peace. You see, peace could never come from a song. Peace cannot come from alcohol or pleasures or wealth. That does not give peace. There is a God, the true and living God, who is described as a God of peace. I want you to notice, sir, just think with me, the Old Testament word for peace is shalom. Shalom. Many Jewish people still use that to this day, like even in the prayer letter from Brother Thomas Duran, a Jewish man who cares for all people, but ministers particularly to Jewish people. And he often closes his letter with shalom. Peace. The word means a desire or a prayer that all is well with you. Shalom. A desire or a prayer that all is well with you. Then in the New Testament, the Greek word for peace means to bind together. To bind together. Not as in bondage, but rather as in rest. To bind together. And now I want you to go back to Jeremiah 6. Jeremiah 6, and let's begin now in the middle of verse 12. Jeremiah 6, middle of verse 12. The Bible says, "For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely." All right. The stretching out of God's hand in the middle of verse 12, God is saying, we could read the broader context, God's saying, I'm going to judge. That's what he means there. I'm going to judge you. Why? Because he says in verse 13, everybody is given to covetousness. From the prophet to the priest, they deal falsely. There is corruption throughout, and God says, I'm going to bring judgment. Now, verse 14, there's been a little appeasement, right? Maybe it's the prophet, maybe it's the priest here as well, sharing and saying, peace, peace, bringing a message of peace. Oh, hey, God's not going to judge. God loves you. You know, there's this, we could look into the broader context of the message, but there was a message of disregard for what God had said. There was a message of all is well when all wasn't well. And so the Bible says in verse 14 that people have been healed slightly. In other words, they were appeased slightly because of these peaceful messages, peaceful remarks. But it says there is no peace. Verse 15, "Were they ashamed when they committed abomination?" God asks. And answers, "Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And help me now, and walk therein. And ye shall find" what? Rest. That's another word for peace. "Ye shall find rest for your souls." But they said, "We will not walk therein." Also, I set a watchman over you, saying, "Hearken to the sound of the trumpet," but they said, "We will not hearken." And so you see that there is a disobedience against what God says. And so that brings us to the first point of the message. If we are going to have peace, true peace, that only comes from God, it only comes from the person of peace, from the God of peace, when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, it's what the Holy Spirit produces in the believer. It's only for believers. This peace is only for believers because we can only have this peace, first of all, if we are right with God. If we are right with God. So the first point is, for the Holy Spirit to give us His peace, we must be right with God and others. We must be right with God and others. The Holy Spirit gives His peace by through being right with God and others. notice over, well, before we leave Jeremiah, we notice here that they did not have peace and they were not right with God. But God offers to them here in verse 16, he says, stand ye in the ways. In other words, you know, shape up, get on the right path, right? Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? So he says, you need to get right. There's things wrong that need to be gotten right, and you need to walk in those ways. So it's more than just seeing the right way, it's walking in it. And it says, and ye shall find rest for your souls. You see, peace comes when we're right with God. Peace comes from being right with God. Please notice chapter 5 of the book of Romans. Let's go to Romans and chapter 5. Please notice verse 1. The Bible says, therefore, Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Justification speaks of salvation. So a person will never have the peace of God, never have the fruit of the Spirit peace in their life unless they have trusted Christ as their Savior. We see that very clearly. From Jeremiah, we also see that it's not about just being saved. I believe that Jeremiah was talking there to people who knew the truth and some who, I'm not going to get into the details there, but the fact of the matter is, as we sang in Sunday school, trust and obey. You know, to be happy in Jesus, we must trust and obey. The only way for us to have peace is not just to be saved, but to be walking in the light, as he is in the light, so we can have fellowship one with another, as 1 John says. And so we must be right, not only in the sense of being saved, but in the sense of fellowship, of communion with God. And so being right with God is critical for God imparting his peace. We know that the Lord has made peace for us. Colossians 1 verse 20 says that Jesus, it says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. He made peace through the blood of his cross. And as it says in Jeremiah, we need to walk in the way, in the right way. He said, ask for the old paths. Where is the right way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So it's important for the Holy Spirit to give us his peace. We must be right with God. For the Holy Spirit to give us his peace, we also must be right with others. Right with others. Please notice the book of Matthew in chapter 5, verse 23. It says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, Matthew 5, now verse 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. If we are not right with someone else, we can't be right with God. God says if we come to worship him and we're not right with someone else, he says, whoa, 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 stop, get right, then come worship. All right, let's notice chapter 6 what Jesus said here in Matthew. And now verse 14. Matthew 6 and verse 14, Jesus said, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Wow. God says, if you're unwilling to extend forgiveness to your brother, he says, I am unwilling to extend forgiveness to you. So you know what that means. That means if I am harboring bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness towards someone else, the Bible says, I cannot have right fellowship with God. And I'll tell you what, if you're not in right fellowship with others, your peace is gone. The peace in your soul is gone. And so it's not about just being right with God, but we must recognize that Jesus says you must be right with others. And so that is critical, that we are not harboring bitterness, anger, or an offense, but rather we have extended forgiveness, or we have gone to make our wrong right, and we are seeking to restore that fellowship. And that is critical. Of course, someone else, we can't force someone to be right with us, but we can extend forgiveness. We can release that offense to God. We can do right by them, regardless of what the other person does. We need to make sure our spirit is right, and that it is not a self-righteous spirit, but rather a spirit of love, a spirit of humility that seeks to make wrongs right. And so the peace of God that passeth all understanding comes as we are right with God and we are right with others. Secondly, I want you to notice that the Holy Spirit gives this peace, not only as we are right with God and others, but as we are daily depending upon the Lord. As we are daily depending upon the Lord. Notice in Isaiah chapter 26, the Bible says in verse 3, Isaiah 26, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." The term, our mind stayed, that is, that our thoughts are fixed, all right? Our thinking is toward God. Our dependence is upon him. And God says, if you are depending on me, if you're trusting life's challenges with me, you're resting in me, he says, I will give you peace. I will keep you in peace. That's what he says. I will keep him in perfect peace. So God is saying our life needs to be depending on him. So it's not enough for me to just be saved and just be right with others, but there needs to be this dependence upon God, that my mind is fixed on him, trusting in the Lord daily, moment by moment, as I am depending on God. You know, there's things that come up that are distressing, and we're like, whoa, what do I do with that? We've got to say, Lord, you can handle this. You're in control. You're the master. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to respond? And we are taking all of life's challenges, all of life's substance, and we are resting it with God. We're saying, Lord, here it is. How do you want me to respond? How do you want me to deal with this? And then we can have peace. That's what God says. We can have peace. And so it's by daily depending on the Lord. Notice Philippians 4. Philippians 4 and now verse 6. Notice what the Bible says. It says, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. So we are to not have anxiety about anything. But in everything. So we got the nothing category and we got the everything. Nothing is worth worrying about. Everything is worth praying about. Right? That's what he says. Worry about nothing, pray about everything, and those two go together. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And now read verse 7 with me. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God comes in direct conjunction with praying about everything. Resting everything in God's hands, right? And that's where God will keep our hearts and minds at rest. Okay? And so we see that the Holy Spirit gives peace to those who are right with Him and others, to those who are daily depending on the Lord. The Bible says in Romans 15, verse 13, it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." Fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Romans 15, 13. And so, praise God, we can have the shalom. It's not just a prayer of goodwill that all would be well with you, but we can have the assurance all is well because my God is in control. There's some challenging things. The health report isn't what I wanted to see. This is going on, this burden here and this. But you know what? God is in control. I'm resting these things in His hands. I'm seeking to walk in the truth. I've made things right with others. I'm in fellowship with God. There's peace. God gives peace to those who are right with God and others, to those who are daily depending. Thirdly, I want you to notice the importance of practicing the presence of the Savior. Practicing the presence of the Savior. I'm right with God and others. I'm depending on the Lord. And really, this third point is kind of right on the heels of depending on the Lord daily. But I'm practicing the presence of the Savior. God is here. God loves me. God is not only here, present, available, but He is in me. And so as I practice His presence, I think, the God who loves me, the God who has everything in control, the God who is, you know, is not surprised by what's going on. He knows my every struggle. He knows my every thought. And He loves me still. And so I can have that wonderful peace. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul. So secure that no power can mine it away while the years of eternity roll. The third verse says, I am resting tonight in this wonderful peace, resting sweetly in Jesus' control, for I'm kept from all danger by night and by day, and His glory is flooding my soul. And methinks, when I rise to that city of peace, where the author of peace I shall see, that one strain of the song that the ransomed will sing in that heavenly kingdom shall be peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Ah, soul, are you here, without comfort or rest, marching down the rough pathway of time? Make Jesus your friend ere the shadows grow dark. Oh, accept this sweet peace so sublime. Peace. Peace comes from a person, being in right relationship with that person. And of course, others are connected with that. Depending on Him. It's not about enough to just know Him. We must depend on Him. Worry about nothing, pray about everything, and God says, I will keep you in. He describes it there as peace that's beyond understanding, right? It doesn't necessarily make sense to human reasoning, but that's the fruit of the Spirit of peace. Are you practicing the presence of the Savior?